This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. Of course, you can catch him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan, and it's all brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And Ben, I guess all week, I don't know if it was nationally, not even that much locally, though, we're talking ankle gate with Patrick Mahomes, and should he play, shouldn't he play? I'm all for playing Patrick Mahomes. You got to win these games to get that one seed. They're getting ready to face Houston on Saturday. What are you expecting out of Patrick Mahomes on Saturday?
Well, here's the thing. Like, there's this grand conspiracy, you know, Mahomes is like an NBA player. He's not really that hurt. You know, he's embellishing it and all that stuff, like some of those guys in the NBA. But I'm right there with you, right? This is football. And I remember a couple years ago when I was on with you, Bob, and we were talking about this and Mahomes' ankle during the playoffs. And it was like, oh, my God, you know, the injury. You look up, and we all do this, right? When our favorite players get hurt or we have some kind of medical a malady, we go on the internet, you're like, all right, high ankle sprain, recovery time, 6 weeks, right? 6 weeks. And he's going to play in a couple of days. You're like, what kind of stuff are they doing? I don't understand. But I'm all for it. Play him. And you need that number one seed, that bye to stay out of having to play on wild card weekend. The math on that is next level, that you have such a huge advantage. It is more than worth it. Not to say like you couldn't win for a week with Carson Wentz, but you really don't want to have to do that. So if he can play and you run a little decoy ball, right, kind of hide Mahomes a little bit where you run the ball more than you normally would, you know, shall we say, and try to win with defense and a little less of Patrick Mahomes. But I'm right there with you. You play him. Don't mess around with this, because that is the easiest path to the Super Bowl, is to have the bye week.
When you look at this game, Chiefs-Texans, I think at the beginning of the year, this is what's crazy about the NFL, is that at the beginning of the year, everybody was like, this should be game one of the season. This is where everybody should load up. And then you get to this game, and it's like, well, they could play Carson Wentz and still beat Houston. What does that say about Houston after this year? I know, still a good team. Offensive line, kind of weak. Defensive line, insanely strong. You know, you look at this matchup, C.J. Stroud, first time in Arrowhead. Patrick Mahomes is going to play. Is this one of those, like, hey, kid, welcome to the league moments? Like, I have a bummed ankle, but check out this.
Well, this entire season for C.J. Stroud has been like, this guy was the offseason MVP. Remember, everyone on the TV was like, C.J. Stroud's going to be the MVP. He was amazing as a rookie, and he's only going to get better. It reminds me, that's 2 years in a row, by the way, the TV offseason MVP has not worked out. Justin Fields was the MVP a couple years ago for the Bears, and now he's a backup in Pittsburgh, and now C.J. Stroud in Houston. And I've read some stuff, they're like blaming the offensive line, but when I watched the Texans, it seems like he's just holding the ball for too long. He's lost his confidence, and he just can't. You got to get rid of it. Not all the sack. Most of the sacks are on the quarterback, not the offensive line. But they're a good team, the Texans, but they're like a faux good team. Like they don't have that razzmatazz you thought they were going to have at this point in the season. And this is a big moment for them, though. Like, they can get a lot of cred back, a lot of credibility, if they are able to go into Arrowhead and knock off the Chiefs. So it's a big spot. But do I expect that to happen? No, I don't, because they're pretty mid-level team, the Texans, even though their record says they're better than that. Just there's something missing that they've been unable to find this year that they actually had a little bit at the end of last year. It's very bizarre because they have a better roster, even though Stephon Diggs isn't there now. He's out. But there's that secret ingredient that they had. They didn't bring it back this year. And I don't, you know, it's kind of getting late in the game at this point, right? There's only 3 weeks to go in the season. So good luck.
Ben Maller with us here on 96.5 The Fan, and you're a gambling guy, and yep. We're gambling people as well. And it was amazing to me once Patrick Mahomes was listed as a full participant on Tuesday, how much the line swung. Like at one point, I think the Texans were a 3-point favorite, and as soon as Mahomes practiced, the Chiefs are a 3-point favorite. Have you ever seen a player move a line so much like Patrick Mahomes did, just like that?
Yeah, he's in the one percentile. Like, I've been following this for a long time, and there's only been Peyton Manning was like that back when he would play for the Colts and the Broncos and what. But there's very few that are, you know. You say any quarterback's going to move the line a little bit because it's the most important position, but that dramatic a move, that's rare. That's not standard practice, which shows you it's really confirmation, right? That we already knew that. Like, it's not really a surprise. Like, if you said just a casual person who's not even a gambler, like, how much value does Mahomes have? Is he worth 6 points? It's probably not that much, but the fact that he's able to play, it just shows you the difference. The cacophony of problems you would have if Carson Wentz was playing, because that's where they value Carson Wentz. They value, like, whether Mahomes is 6 points better than everyone else, he's, in the eyes of the gambling world, he's worth 6 points compared to Carson Wentz. That's the problem.
So you have a big one tonight, Chargers Broncos. That's a 3-point spread there for your Chargers as we segue into this game for this. And one thing I have to ask you is, who's set up better for the future, Harbaugh with Herbert or Nix with Peyton?
Yeah, so I go to these Charger games, and Justin Herbert has great sets. I was at the game they played Tampa Bay where the Bucs said, fire the cannons, over and over. And they outscored the Chargers 27-0 in the second half of that game. It was a total no-show. I don't know what to make of the Chargers. I feel like they're incomplete. It's like a piecemeal roster for Jim Harbaugh that they don't have. That they don't have the full allotment, that they're going to make some more moves this offseason. But you ask me right now, I like the Broncos more than the Chargers. They've come a long way. They still have some salary cap issues. I'm a salary cap truther. They still have some issues there, but they've figured out the defense. They got a pretty good defense there. They've mostly beaten bad teams, but that's what you have to do, is beat bad teams. And Bo Nix, listen, I was at the game with you, Bob, and Dusty, you were in Kansas City. Bo Nix looked great. I was really impressed watching him in person, how good he looked. He hasn't played that well every week, but I think the Broncos are going to lose that game tonight to the Chargers, but I would rather have the Broncos overall at this moment.
What about adding one step to that, Raheem Morris with Michael Penix Jr. or the Chargers or the Broncos?
Yeah, I'm not a big Raheem Morris guy. I still have a memory. I'm old enough to remember him coaching in Tampa back in the day, and what a debacle that was. And I don't know what to make of Penix. They're favored by way too many points. 8.5 or something. The Falcons against as bad as the Giants are. I mean, that's, come on. They got first game action as a starter in the NFL, and he's favored by over a touchdown. I don't get that. So I would have Atlanta behind the Chargers because I believe Harbaugh's vision is there. He just doesn't have the players. And I feel like Peyton's closer to that because at least you've got Bo Nix. He's not getting the big money yet for the Broncos. So you got a couple years to play with before you're going to have to pay him. Although Bo Nix, I think, is already our age, Bob. He's been played in college for about 12 years. So I think he's older than your average rookie.
Yeah, he definitely is, which is why I like him in the NFL, which is why I said coming out, him and Penix were my two favorite quarterbacks coming out of the draft, and Bo Nix because he was older. He had more life experiences, if you will, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And the other thing about Penix, and I'm sure this will come up 1,000 times if you watch the Atlanta game this weekend, he's left-handed. Oh, my God, a left-handed quarterback. That's just so rare. This is the first time in over a decade we're going to have two left-handed starting quarterbacks in the NFL with Tua. In assuming he's able to play, I know he got hurt at practice, but assuming he plays for the Dolphins, you got two on one side in that game against the 49ers and Michael Penix, who I loved him in college too. I was pulling for them in the championship playoff thing last year, and it was a disaster, didn't work out. But I like the way he played. I like the moxie that he plays with, and I think that will carry over. And how about $90 million for Kirk Cousins in Atlanta? What a tremendous move by Arthur Blank. Is the price of lumber going to go up at Home Depot now because of that? Holy moly, what a debacle, man.
Ben, it's interesting. We have these conversations. Our producer, Mac, he hates the awards now because they don't go in the favor of his team. That's a joke, kind of. But We see Coach of the Year. Obviously, we know that's not going to go to Andy Reid. That hope is over. He went from 2,200, big jump, went to plus 1,400. But the one that's interesting right now is that Josh Allen is minus 900. I'm interested to ask you, because I know you keep your eye on these sort of things. Somebody's losing. Bills or Chiefs. I don't know who it is yet. Somebody's losing before the season ends. If it is the Bills, how much does that number change from minus 900 to what for Josh Allen?
Yeah, so as you know, Dusty, this is a weekly sojourn every week. Now, if the Bills lose to the Patriots, assuming Josh Allen doesn't get hurt, you would have to throw him not all the way out of the lead, but the margin would be so thin. You look at who the Bills play. They've got the Patriots twice and the Jets. The only way you would assume they would lose one of those games is if Josh Allen got hurt. Like, if he's healthy, they're winning those games. Like, there's not an obvious loss there. They have the Jets at home in Orchard Park. So you look at that, you're like, okay, everything's set up. And the Chiefs have a much tougher road than the Buffalo Bills do. So, but as I would point out, like, the Bills losing would be such a devastating situation for Josh Allen to lose to one of those bad teams that it would close the gap a lot. And then I know John Gruden, I talked about this on my overnight show, that Gruden's campaigning for Lamar Jackson. There's other people saying Lamar Jackson should be the MVP. He's got a couple of stinkers on his resume, losing to the Raiders, the worst team in football, with the Giants at home. That's embarrassing for Lamar. Losing to the Browns is a bad loss. So, Josh Allen, they're not going to lose, but if they did, he would still be the favorite, but obviously the margin would shrink by a ton.
All right, Ben, before we let you go, college football playoff starts on Friday, carries into Saturday. We got ourselves a great weekend of football, man, starting Friday night with Notre Dame and Indiana. What are you looking at in the college football playoff?
Yeah, well, that's the game, actually. That's the game I circled. Yeah, Notre Dame, my entire life, they're the ultimate blue blood in college football. And here's Indiana, who's in their state, right, in their area there. And the upstart, it's a basketball school. I like the bravado of their coach at Indiana. That's the game I've circled. I'd love to see a bit of an upset there. So that's the one on Friday night that I will be partaking in.
Ben, we appreciate the time. Have a great holiday season, and we'll talk to you after the new year.
All right, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and all that. Thanks, guys.
That's Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio joining us here. You can catch him overnights on 96.5 The Fan. Always good to catch up with Ben, and I like what he said about the Patrick Mahomes situation being in the one percenter with the line changing the way that it did. I mean, you had mentioned at the start of the show, the Chiefs now a 3.5-point favorite. I think when it opened, they were three and a half point underdogs to the Houston Texans, and Mahomes getting out there for a glorified kind of walkthrough. Today, I've been told they're going to ramp it up a little bit more, have a quicker practice today, a faster type practice today to test Mahomes even more. But just his presence out there, it's like nobody else we've ever seen, Dusty, in sports. I mean, obviously Jordan, you know, could probably do something like that, and Brady. But where we are right now, Patrick Mahomes is in that one percentile where he just steps on the practice field and Las Vegas adjusts their line in such a big way with the, I don't even want to say the allure, but the probability of Patrick Mahomes playing on Saturday afternoon.
I think this is why a lot of people gave Anthony Richardson so much scrutiny when he was like, yeah, I was tired. Because you see guys like Patrick Mahomes, who's got the world in his hand in the NFL, and it's like had a, you know, pretty severe ankle sprain on that game last week. And then it's like, oh, yeah, he might miss the game, might not, hasn't missed a practice, hasn't been limited
right.
in practice yet, let alone doubtful, anything, just full participant every single practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of that is youth. A lot of that is hunger, tenaciousness, and, you know, just the drive to want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, again, we went back to you could go back and find specific examples throughout the season. When we go back to preseason game one, it's like these guys are so hell-bent on a three-peat.
Yeah, they really are.
And
yep.
This is part of it, where it's like this is the time where the Chiefs season really ramps up. And we talked about it earlier how people, you know, I think it was like weeks probably 7 through 10. A lot of people were like, they just look bored, right? They beat Denver by 2 before they lost to Buffalo. They had to take Tampa Bay into overtime, which is a good game. Tampa's a good team.
Yep.
They went by 7 against the Chargers. They beat the 49ers by 10, but, you know, that wasn't enough. You know, that, you know, whatever it might have been. And everybody's like, yeah, they just seem like they're bored. And a lot of people forgot, like, how many games they played in the last 3 years, more than anybody in the league. Mahomes had 2 ankle sprains in the last two of the last 3 years, with 2 Super Bowls on that ankle as well. And now here we go again. December ramps up. The Chiefs are 13-1. And
we'll see what happens next. I mean, somebody's losing, Chiefs or Buffalo. Like I said to Ben Maller in that interview, somebody's going to lose. Who it's going to be, I don't know, because I would say that Buffalo would win out, and I'm not going to doubt the Chiefs to say they don't win out.
Right.
So who's to say that the Chiefs go 16-1 and they get the one seed by one game? That, to me, is the one thing that's like just bonkers, is that you're like, so they went 16-1 when they wrapped the one seed up, like week 12, 13. No, that was just the division.
Mm-hmm.
The one seed didn't get locked up until they actually got out of weeks 18 and clinched the division.
Well, I would say I'm hoping the Denver game doesn't matter, so I don't care what happens in that game. Like, you know, I really don't want the Christmas Day game to matter. That would be a great, you know, bird to the NFL, as we've kind of talked about for the last week or so, to have Carson Wentz play in that game on Christmas Day, have the Chiefs win on Saturday, Buffalo lose on Sunday, and call this whole thing off. And we can move forward and start kind of focusing on, you know, the season. You mentioned Anthony Richardson. Two things I want to touch on. Have you seen his completion percentage this year? The lowest in NFL history other than Tim Tebow. He stinks. And so the other thing about Patrick Mahomes that I want to bring up is every time I talk to somebody about Patrick Mahomes, and it's been for years, but it really has kind of come to light this week. Everybody uses the same word, and that's toughness, and how tough Patrick Mahomes is. And I think when you start to use that word, it takes you from just being a football player and puts you in a different category of, I'm going to play at all costs. I'm going to tough this out. I'm going to be there for my teammates. And that's what you want in a leader. And then you look around that locker room, and we had our Christmas party out at Arrowhead last night, and it was an unbelievable experience. And they had the locker room open, and everybody kind of got to go in the locker room and check that out. Mm. And you look around that locker room, and it starts with the specialist, the offensive lineman, the defense, and you go around that room. And if Patrick Mahomes is tough, and he's out there playing on that ankle, what are the other 52 guys going to look at and say if they're nursing an injury or something isn't right with them? They're like, our leader, the greatest quarterback on planet Earth, is going out there and playing with an ankle that most people can't even walk on. I mean, you know, somebody was saying about WebMD. They looked it up. I think it was you earlier this morning. You look up on WebMD, and it takes like 6 months or Ben Maller was talking about it. Yeah, it takes like 6 weeks for the ankle to heal. You know, when you look it up on WebMD, and this guy's going out there 5 days later and getting ready to play in a major football game that means a lot to a lot of people inside that organization. So his toughness then in turn raises the toughness of everybody else out there, and guys who are in that December blues of trying to just get to the postseason, they're going to go, this guy's going to go out here and play. This guy's going to go bust his ass. I'm going to go bust my ass as well. And I think it raises everybody else's game because he's the leader and he's going to be out there playing.
And I think it also goes to show you that, like, the NFL, you can't take for granted, because every week is different. Every week is super important, especially when you get into like December and January. And I think that's where Mahomes looks at it, where, you know, you don't take things for granted. You don't think, well, we're better than they are, we should be able to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody gets that concept. Not everybody's, you know, well known to that sort of, you know, mindset. Then there's people like Doug Gottlieb.
Part of the reason I want to play better teams is, like, it's 2 degrees outside, snowing. Like, I, you know, I don't really like the idea of nobody you coming in here and, like, what do I always thought, like, what do we learn playing a game where we win by 20? But there's a methodology to it. And I'm going to have to adjust moving forward.
Doug Gottlieb.
How their team finished against No U University?
That was the day before they played a school called Michigan Tech, which I thought was a fake school. I'm not going to lie. I never heard of Michigan Tech.
I thought Gottlieb's was a fake school.
He is a fake school.
Wisconsin Green Bay is where he coaches at.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. It's not like he's coaching at, you know, Mecca U. He's coaching at Wisconsin Green Bay, and then had that comment that he wants to play good teams because nobody U's coming in here on a snowy night.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody U is Michigan Tech, a Division II school. And they beat Doug Gottlieb's team 72-70 yesterday.
Love to see it.
Is, other than Littlefinger, right, is there anybody that America roots collectively for to fail more than Doug Gottlieb?
I don't think anybody in America really roots for Doug Gottlieb to fail, because I don't know if anybody knows where Doug Gottlieb is or where he was until yesterday.
Yeah, but just as a human, you know, and what he's done, you know, over the years from his broadcasting, the Oklahoma State, he's just not a likable guy, right? And I've always watched him on TV or whatever it's been, because he's been there. He's wanted to coach K-State. Maybe they'll hire him now with, you know, people upset with Jerome Tang and what's going on over there, you know, in Manhattan, Kansas. Maybe they'll hire Doug Gottlieb to get that job. But I just feel feel like everybody took kind of schadenfreude of the happiness of the misfortune of others. And watching him lose yesterday, people were excited that Doug Gottlieb lost that game. One, because a lot of people don't like Gottlieb. But also, two, you're insulting your opponent before a big game. And if Michigan Tech can take those words by Doug Gottlieb, where he called them nobody you, a Division II school, and go in there and beat that ass, what are these Tim Settle comments going to do for the Kansas City Chiefs? Like, Michigan Tech used these against Doug Gottlieb, who, by the way, earlier in the week was put in a body bag by Adam Schefter on Twitter because he had said something to Schefter, and Schefter responded back, why don't you spend less time on Twitter and more time coaching and trying to win games, and posted the standings of 0-7 and what they are. Beat that ass.
That's right. Yeah, I've never really been a huge fan of Doug Gottlieb. Obviously, like, huge Oklahoma State homer, obviously played there.
Yeah, played there.
Not a lot of people liked him as a teammate. I would say that a lot of people root for the Chiefs to fail. Like, I think a lot of people just, like, let it be over. Give somebody else a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I think a lot of people would say they'd rather see the Bills and the Lions play in the Super Bowl than the Chiefs and anybody else.
I've heard that from a lot of people.
I think a lot of people would rather see the Ravens and the Philadelphia Eagles play in the Super Bowl than Chiefs and Philly again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's true. I think the Chiefs are probably the most team in the United States in a sport that people root for them to lose.
But I don't think people root against them because they're a hateable team, right? Like, the hateable
people.
They
are a hateable team, though.
But not in the way that, like, Doug Gottlieb and Rodgers are. Like, they're douches. Like, everybody knows that. That we don't have that guy. Like, the Patriots had Belichick. People rooted against him. They didn't like Bill Belichick. He was cheating and all that kind of stuff. You root against the Chiefs if you're not in Kansas City because you are ready for something different. You root against Gottlieb and Rodgers because you just don't really like them. You know, you just don't really like them as people.
From the 405, lived in Oklahoma City a decade and a half ago when Gottlieb started on the radio. He's an arrogant, pompous ass and always has been, completely unlikable.
There you go. Nobody's saying that about Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid or Travis Kelce, right? But Doug Gottlieb, like, he's a lightning rod for people. They just don't like him. And I'm old enough because I was doing student radio when he put his shorts on backwards. I was broadcasting that game, and the whole place is chanting shorts on backwards. And from that moment on, and really what he did at Notre Dame, wasn't he stealing, like, people's credit cards or something at Notre Dame when he was playing there, you know? And so Doug Gottlieb's always been one of those guys that's just been an unlikable dude. And so when he says stuff like that, man, that's karma. It bit you right in the ass, Doug.
I know you guys probably don't know the name. Maybe I'm giving you no credit. The one guy that I do root for to lose all the time, no shock, golfer, Patrick Reed. Hate that guy. I don't hate anybody. I dislike Patrick Reed a lot.
It's a sports hate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually just as a person, I don't like him.
Oh,
like,
okay.
But I think Gottlieb and Rodgers are more than sports
hate.
That's
fair.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so is Patrick Reed. Like, he was pissed that he didn't get to be teammates with a certain guy in the Ryder Cup because they had chemistry, but yet Spieth and Thomas are boys since they were kids. He got kicked out of Georgia's golf team because he cheated. Went to the Georgia State or whatever it was, had issues there. Wore a choker necklace at the age of 30. That's just another thing that I can't understand. And he's just cringy. Little pudgy, little cringy, angry little guy that cheats. Nobody likes Patrick Reed.